Bible teaching by David Ebal is titled Progression is Secret.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is a generation of change. If there's one word that marks this generation, what is it?
Change.
This is a generation of change. And you know, if you don't change, you're going to die. Come on. Did you ever notice the corn? When it quits changing, it starts to die. Have you ever noticed that? How many have noticed any plant? When it quits changing, it dies. So if you want to stay alive, the idea is to continue to change. In this realm of change, God said, the first thing I'm going to do is send my son to enter your... And change that and get that straightened around. Then I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to enter your... Bring the Word of God to your mind. Change your mind. Change your soul. Change your attitudes. Then, after I get your head screwed on right, come on now. No offense, I'm looking to see who's frowning. Why can he talk like that? The reason I can talk like that is because it's so apparent that it's true. Now turn around and look at each other. Look at him. Turn around. Would you turn around and look at him, please? Turn around. Look at the back row. Back row smile. Now, would you ever, everybody agree that we need to get our heads screwed on right? We're all twisted. Never mind if you didn't get that. All right. Now we're changing in the what realm? We're changing in the so that he can send the glory of the Father in our what realm? And we will be changed in that realm as well. Spirit and soul and body. Okay. Now, in order to understand those major changes in all three realms, we go to the tabernacle experience. Because when we studied the tabernacle, the seven steps of the tabernacle, how many have our book, The Key to the Priesthood? Let's see. How many have not got that book? Or have not? All right, we have about at least a third, so let me do a real quick one on that. Moses, God said to Moses, now look, Moses, you're to build it exactly according to the plan that was shown in the wilderness. Can you see it from there? Okay. Got the door. Brazen labor. You remember all this, don't you? And then into the brazen labor. So, going on, this is called salvation for the Spirit. When you sacrifice the lamb, what's the name of the lamb? Who's the lamb of God? Jesus Christ. And the blood is spilled and your spirit is saved. Now this is entrails because at the laver you wash the entrails. Come on now. Isn't that what's washed? The entrails. Now you see spirit, heart, blood, entrails. These are all the same thing. Out of your innermost parts, out of your bowels shall flow living water. But this speak ye of the... And the washing of the bowels, the entrails is for the spirit. When Jesus enters the spirit, the heart, the bowels, the inner man, the hidden man, you see? This is all for the spiritual thing. So in this realm, we would say that outside would be your people that aren't saved, and we go through this door, and I'll call the doorkeeper Billy Graham. How's that? Because he's the evangelist, he's going out, you know, come on, you're Madison Square Garden, 18,000, and he invites them in through the door of faith into the blood of the Lamb. They go to the altar and they get saved. Jesus in the heart. Okay. Now we go on and we find out that, oh, by the way, all Israel, every person in Israel was allowed to participate out here.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, you Baptists.
Yeah.
That's the reason for it. That's why we have so many buses. Because this is for all Israel. See, this is the big thing right now. To get all Israel in through the door, see, and get them saved. But then, we find out that only one tribe can go up into here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the priests.
Amen.
Levi. Now, just out of curiosity, I would like to know how many here are from the tribe of Levi or from the tribe of Melchizedek, one or the other. Before it's all with, everybody will raise their hand. Because we are kings and priests, not after the order of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek. How many here are a king and a priest, one or the other, one or the other? Raise your hands, please. Raise your hands, please. Raise your hands, please. All right. Now, in that realm, we have the right to enter the second veil, called sometimes the first veil, but it's really the second because we got a door that's the first, and this is the second veil called Pentecost. Now when we go through Pentecost, the second experience, the Methodist or Wesleyan experience, we come into here and we find first the candlestick, table of showbread, golden incense altar. Are you noticing the progression?
Yes. Yeah.
And these progressions are secret, and I'll tell you why. What happens beyond this door to people on the outside is very secret.
Uh-huh.
And what happens to people after they receive a sanctification or a second work is quite secret to people who are saved.
Amen.
In fact, every once in a while they see the curtains flip and they see these candlesticks reflecting, the light of the candlestick reflecting off the golden covered boards, and they say, "Don't mess around in there, it's wildfire. Leave that alone. Don't fool with those people." Come on, did they tell you that?
Uh-huh.
How many have heard that? I mean, really, this is a serious thing. And don't fool around with that. And so the curtain flips shut, and it's secret, and they know things are going on in there, and some of them are dying of curiosity. And they sneak a peek, and some of them sneak through. I'm just out of curiosity. How many of you Calvinists sneak through and receive the baptism? Let's see your hands. I just wonder. All right, there's a bunch of... All right, they sneak through. Now, somebody, you were out here at one of these stations, and you saw that curtain flip one time, and you got excited, and you just started to go on. And you decided to go on into the candlestick, or the table of showbread, or the golden incense altar. Now, I'm not here to teach the whole thing tonight because I'm in a hurry, but for those of you who really want to go in detail, you ought to get our book, The Key to the Priesthood, a purple book. I think we've got a bunch of those in the back. And study that some more. But the way into the Holy of Holies, the holy place, the most holy, this may be upside down to you, but you're starting out here at the laver, at the brazen altar, going into the laver, and then to the candlestick, and the table of showbread, golden incense altar. But finally we go to the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Testament. Now, when it says Ark of the Covenant or Ark of the Testament, these are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing. You knew that, didn't you? They mean the same thing. Now, God said, that's where I'll meet you. I'll talk with you, man to man, mouth to mouth, face to face. Right here. Now, these are seven steps to perfection. How many of you want to talk with God, man to man, mouth to mouth, and face to face? How many would like that?
Amen.
Listen, I got some questions, don't you?
Amen.
Listen, wouldn't it be neat if you knew for sure it's time to sell the house or which one to buy? Huh? Wouldn't that be nice? We got some people already I'm prophesying to. whether it's time to move or, you know, these kind of things. Wouldn't that be nice? How many will agree with me that God has a perfect plan for your life?
Yeah.
Well, praise God. Well, how many have already noticed that you're already in it? And how many are wondering? Whenever we're about to make a decision, we're scared to death and wondering. And after it's over and we're down the road a piece, you look back and say, oh, praise God, that was right. Have you noticed that? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? He keeps us scared to death of the present. And the past is always, we can see that His hand was in it. Now, I'm going to say that again for those who are, that this may be a little hard. How many believe that God is sovereign? What's sovereign mean? What? Sovereign. Let's see, the Queen had her 25th, her silver anniversary. The Queen is sovereign. Is that right? She's the sovereign Queen. What's sovereign? The head, the complete, chief honcho, top banana. All right, the boss. Now, if God is sovereign, do you think that all things are happening by His permission?
Yes. Yes.
Now, if you can say that, you're quite advanced. All things?
Amen.
All things?
Amen.
Even burnt down barns?
Amen.
Hurricanes?
Amen.
Well, now it's a little hard, but did Job finally get around to it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. All things are happening at His hand. Now, did it say in the Bible that He creates good and evil? God creates evil? Does that, is that what it says in the Bible? Well, if it says it, do you believe it? Did Jesus say to the devil, you were a liar from the day you were created? All right, now, who created the devil? Come on. Well, if God created the devil, then what's his purpose? Now, my concept of the devil may be a little different than yours, so since I got the microphone, let me tell you mine. To me, the devil is like a dog on a chain, a barking dog on a chain. Betty and I were recently looking at some property, and there was a great big giant black dog. Now, I don't know what it was, but at first I thought it was a bear or something. You know, it was terrible. Oh, and it came lunging at us. And as it came lunging at us and just barking so, you know, ferociously, I thought, oh, you know, this is it. I've had it. And just as the dog, he was right close. And his, you know, you could see his teeth and feel his breath, but his head jerked back. Because he was on a chain and couldn't get any closer, and boy, was I strong then. I was so brave. But I wasn't always that brave. Does the Bible say he's like a roaring lion? Somebody says, but his teeth have been pulled. You see, I hope that nobody's offended, but since this is my meeting, so I can tell it the way I want to, the purpose of the devil is to scare the hell out of you. Come on now. Come on. That's the whole purpose. And then, now that's not cussing. No. Hell is a biblical word, right? How many have had a tangle with the devil now and then? You know what I'm talking about, you know, right? And every time we tangle with the devil, he's scared a little more hell out of us. Come on. Now, there are other ways of saying it that are more socially correct. But anyway, that's the purpose of it. And we find out that he really can't get to the seat of the problem. Because he's this dog on the chain, and he cannot really bite you, just scare it out. Because the purpose is to change our soul mind and to drive us back to the Bible, the Word, and the Holy Ghost will engraft the Word in our soul minds and change us from what we are to what we ought to be. Now, that's what it's all about. And most of us by now have had enough maturity. But the Bible is very clear that at the moment we're not manifest sons of God. We are technons turning into huios. We're the teenagers of God. And in just a little while, we'll be what we ought to be. Now, another way of saying it is you ain't seen nothing yet. How's that? You ain't seen nothing yet. And the Bible talks about I have not seen. We're expecting to change, but not in the heart, because everybody here has got Jesus in the heart. But the change that I'm expecting right now is in the soul mind, progression going on. Then also I'm expecting that after my head is screwed on right, that this will then be a good vessel for the glory of the Father. But He can't use these vessels now because of the condition of our... Come on. Now, don't look at me that way. You thought that you were so perfect and He was about ready to put His glory in your physical body. Well, the truth of the matter is, you've got to have more than grafted Word, which is able to save your soul. And you need to change in your
mind
from what you are to what you ought to be. And the changes are taking place. Now, while these changes take place, remember that they, as we progress, there are secrets that you don't tell the people that haven't gotten that far. I'm going to say this four times so everybody gets it. It's time you found out that there are times when it's God's will for you to keep your big mouth shut.
Right.
Now, you don't believe that if you're in this group. Why? In this group, your whole zealous concept is to go out to the world and tell all the world, shout it from the housetops, and tell them Jesus saves. And it's true.
Right.
We find no fault with it. But friend, when you go beyond that step and go beyond this veil, then things happen in here that are secret. And shouldn't be told to the people that are out here. It just messes them up. And they're getting upset about it. But the tabernacle experience, in the Feast of Tabernacles, it's personal and private.
Right.
I want to say that again. They said to Jesus, "Will thou now at this time go up to keep the feast?" Nope. And he went up privately.
That's all right.
Matthew chapter 17. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John apart.
Mm-hmm.
Apart. What's this guy emphasizing?
Mm-hmm.
Personal, private, apart, secret, only for close friends.
Right.
The tabernacle experience is personal and private. Now, the Pentecostal experience is for all of God's priests.
Right.
But only one could enter the Holy of Holies, and that which with much preparation.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the Holy of Holies was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle yet standeth. That's tomorrow's lesson. Now, in order to come into this place where we can speak with God man to man, mouth to mouth, and face to face, we have to understand that we've got to take all the steps. Now, there are some truth seekers. Hope you're hearing it. Some truth seekers, some groups, who are repulsed about talking about the blood of the Lamb, yet they know there is a valuable goal in God to be obtained. So these truth seekers say, look, let's let off and leave away a number of these steps and let's not participate and let's sneak in under the side flap. Now, Jesus told a parable about those that when you enter the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, PMA, positive mental attitude, mind over
matter,
you know, all these mind trips, and they make it into righteousness, peace, and joy. They're actually peaceful. But then he said, at that time, the angels are going in and look around and say, hey, how'd you get in here? You're not wearing the right
garment.
It hasn't been washed in the
blood.
And they grab him by the ear and out he goes. You remember the parable?
Right.
Now this is vital for you to see, and especially Christians and those who have matured to your level. Don't you knock those guys who are truth seekers. And don't go telling them how wrong they are, because you sound very ignorant to them that have already achieved a realm of peace. What you do is show them the three steps. Jesus for the Holy Ghost for the glory of the Father for the because they are still truth seekers and they recognize they haven't achieved it all. So what you do is explain and say, now look, what you got is great, but you missed out on the first steps. And teach them that. Come on now, you don't get flies with vinegar. Well, let me try that again. Some, I have received an awful lot of criticism of late, because I've been teaching in areas that were not necessarily approved of by the Christian community. Now I want to say this very clearly. The man I work for was under such criticism 2,000 years ago. And he was constantly going outside the church community for which he was criticized to tell them the way to God. And he finally got so exasperated with them, I hope I'm not offending anybody, but here goes. He said, now look, you smart alecks, I can do more with the publicans and sinners and harlots than I can with you church girls.
That's right.
We don't teach our girls to become harlots now. Let's get that straight. That's not what we're talking about at all. It's, you see, I can deal with somebody who recognizes they need further changes. But once you act like you got it all, then how can I sell you on something new? You see it? And so there's the problem that we're dealing with right now. So we're going on. Going on in God. Now, those seven steps speak to us of the spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, the outer court, the soul in the holy place, and the body, the holy of holies. Now there are three feasts, but one of the feasts, Pentecost, also goes by another name. First fruits, remember it? The Feast of First Fruits. The Greek word is Jesus. The English word is Savior. The Hebrew word is Yahshua. If I say Jesus in Hebrew, I say Yahshua. If I say Christ in Hebrew, I say Messiah. You knew that, didn't you? So if I say Hebrew and talk about Jesus, I say Yahshua Messiah. Well, no argument about the pronunciation of the syllable. In English, it's Savior anointed. So if I'm going to call upon Jesus in English, I use the word... Now this is hard on you, especially if you've been taught that there's some magic in the pronunciation of the word Jesus. See where you are. There is no magic, no Tinkerbell wand in the pronunciation of the word Jesus. Now, I know that some of you thought there was, but would you explain why it is that when a Spaniard can pray in the name of Jesus, that he can get the same result that you get when you say Jesus? Or did you ever think of that? It's not the pronunciation then. It has to do with the nature. We're dealing with the nature now. Well, what's the nature? Love and forgiveness and mercy. And when you can come to God in the nature of love and forgiveness and mercy, then you stand a chance to get your prayer answered. Are you hearing it? Not the pronunciation. However, if I was going to say Jesus in English, I'd say Savior. And I'd say the anointed Savior for Jesus Christ, or Yahshua Messiah. If I was talking about the word Pentecost, it's an anglicized form of the Greek. In English, it's called 50 days. Literally, Pentecost is 50 days. Literally. Come on, 50 days. But in Hebrew, it's Shavuot. Means first fruits. Now some of us, because 50 days, we've counted our 50, we tarried in Jerusalem, we received the baptism, it makes us think that we've arrived. Come on. If your goal is to count for 50, you count for 50, you get it, you come to it, you've arrived. But if instead of using the word Pentecost or 50 days, we would use the word Shavuot or first fruits, then it would not connote arrival, it would indicate progression. You see it? The concept of Pentecost is not that we've arrived, it's we're progressing. We're going on, not that we're not what we were. We already planted and we're ready for a first fruits harvest, and we're going to get more. Now, in order to progress and get more, there are certain secrets. And I'm in Exodus chapter 23 right now, or 34, 23:19 or 34:26. I'm going to jump a little bit, and I'm going to quote a paraphrase, and you can find it in either one of these sections. Three times God, through Moses, said, "You must appear before me in the place that I have chosen." Three times he said in Exodus 23 or 34, "You must appear before me." The feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of Tabernacles. Now the feast of Pentecost is also referred to as the first fruits. The first of the first fruits of thy land, Pentecost. Thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. What a dumb thing to put there. Right after Pentecost, and before Tabernacles, we find the Scriptures telling us twice, "Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk." Between Pentecost and Tabernacles, from this Scripture, the Orthodox Jews have derived their kosher laws. How many have heard of kosher? If you were to visit in the home of an Orthodox Jew, you'd find two sets of dishes. Why? Some are milk dishes and some are meat dishes, and you don't mix them. Those of us who travel in Israel, just out of curiosity, those who've traveled with us in our groups in Israel, raise your hands so the others can see them. Look at them over here, all over. Those of us who travel in Israel together in our various groups, when we were served breakfast, you had rolls with butter. But at night, we had rolls, no butter. And in the morning, when I had my coffee, I had cream for my coffee. But at night, I asked for cream and didn't get it. Why? Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Based on this kosher rule, you're not to mix meat with milk. Oh, you're getting it. Now, don't beat me to the punchline. You're not to mix meat with milk. We get the dishes, morning dishes, evening dishes, and all kinds of weird applications that keep growing from this. But what application shall we draw, and what kosher law shall we now keep? What? Don't mix the meat of the word with the milk of the word, especially when you're leaving and going into where you are right now. And what is the problem that we're constantly running into everywhere I go? And I teach these lessons, deep, meaty lessons, and in our group we have this mixture, and some of the meat, it even seems like every time I teach, somebody chokes. And once in a while they upchuck. And I couldn't figure it out. And now I got it. It's because I've been making beef gravy with milk. And you can't make beef gravy with milk. I'm going to wait a while for you ladies. It curdles the milk. Now, there are some chipped beef kind of situations that are processed meat. But I'm talking about a cut of meat, you understand? A roast or a steak. You just don't add milk to it. What do you use? Water with beef and flour and so forth. And you don't add milk to it. Why? Because you can't mix the meat and the milk. It curdles, it goes bad in the tummy unless it's processed. Hope you're hearing this. That's why a Jew never orders a hamburger with cheese. But we have found out that processed cheese does not curdle because it's processed. I don't understand some kind of a certain lactic acid or something. Well, anyway, you chemists, you know about it. But anyway, it changed, and it'll work, and it'll settle in our stomachs all right. But it wouldn't settle otherwise. Now, this is a little deep in that realm, and I'm not here to teach rules about eating. I heard a few people give sighs of relief. Know that we're not going to give rules of eating. But the idea is, and I hope you're seeing it, that in order to enter the Feast of Tabernacles, you leave the what? Milk of the Word, and begin eating steaks. How's that for progression of growing up or maturing? But we've been dealing with teenagers who are still going to the milk bars instead of the steakhouses. And that went over like a lead balloon, so I got to go back and pick that up again. Let's do that again. Not enough steakhouse. All right. There's nothing wrong with a Dairy Queen. But I couldn't exist on Dairy Queens. But if you go to the Dairy Queen and order a malted milkshake and they hand you a steak, you say, what's this? My palate was ready for a milkshake, and you want me to eat a what? Ponderosa. A steak. Well, now, which restaurant did you expect here tonight? The Dairy Queen or the Charcoal Broil? Huh? Okay. Now, if I offer you a Bible lesson full of milk, you won't like it? Because you came ordering steaks, meat, you are expecting here tonight the what of the word?
Meat of the word.
But why do you take the meat back to the milk bars and get me in trouble with it? I have been in an awful lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Not by what I taught, by what you said I taught.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to put anyone under condemnation. I'm just talking to the one next to you right now. Now, when those people go to the Dairy Queens, they're not expecting steaks. But you slip in at that Sunday school or wherever it is, and you hand them one of those well, I'm listening here. Big Mac, T-Bone, Bonanza, well. And they didn't come for that. That doesn't satisfy their taste buds. Their palate is already set for another form.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that. So it's time you began to realize that when you get to some of these deeper, what I'll call meatier lessons, that you're going to find right up here close to this veil, because that's our goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're trying to get through, so we're going to find stuff up here. By the way, that's called meat. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's called meat right here, the pancakes. Oh, by the way, on those pancakes, I think most of you know it, but I want to tell you now. Those were fine ground flour mixed with oil. See, everything in there is mixed with oil. And then it says they're rolled in cinnamon. And the Bible says that cinnamon rolls are only for the priests.
Oh, good.
And anyone... Wonder how Bob Hope controls them. I want to get to the punchline and you're... Anyone who eats cinnamon rolls must be stoned. Who is not a priest? How many of you have eaten cinnamon rolls? Tell the truth. Tom, would you get out the machine gun, please? We're going to have it right now. What? We're what? Kings and priests. Join us with Christ. Priests after the order of Melchizedek. So you can go ahead and eat the cinnamon rolls. Boy. There's no condemnation now. Now these are meaty things. But would you agree that the meatier things have a veil?
Right.
So don't take what you learn at our barbecue sessions out here to people who are just finding out how good it feels to get Jesus in the heart. Let them develop the idea that they want to enter in and go get these meatier things.
Praise the Lord.
Am I making sense or not?
Praise.
Because you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. And this is given right between the Feast of Pentecost and... So especially dealing with Pentecostals. Let them discover these things for themselves. Don't put meat down their throat or you'll choke them. You know. And they... yeah, you get upset about it because they're not ready for it. Now I hope that I'm starting to make sense to you that God put veils at certain spots, not by accident, but because he meant to have those veils. Now, is it true that at the cross, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom? Is it true that at the cross, Jesus took the ordinances which were written against us and nailed them to the cross? Is it also true that we got a stepladder, took the ordinances down, and made a rule book out of them? And is it also true that we have sewn back up the rip? And we have returned to the devil the power of death, which was taken from him at the cross, and we give it back.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.